In James chapter 1, notice with me as we come to verse 27. I want to title the message tonight, The Fatherless. And this is one of those sermons that I will do each year that when we've written an article 15, 20 plus years ago, and we don't have a sermon on it, but we have an article. I like to be able to hand out an article and a sermon, and this is one of them. We wrote an article in 2003, and of course, we also last year preached from verse 26 and 27, a message and article titled Pure Religion. But notice he says in verse 27, he said, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Heavenly Father, we do ask this evening thy blessings upon the reading of Scripture. Lord, again, we ask that you would speak to our hearts as we look at this subject. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, each year I like to do some of these, and I'm thinking about a few weeks on this. And like I say, it gives me the opportunity when somebody asks, do you have a subject, a particular title, or on a particular subject, I can say, well, we have something in print and something on CD as well. When we come to the Bible, we consider the fatherless. There's various reasons that people become orphans, and that's basically what this means. It could be abandonment because of neglect, death, war, disaster, separations, and many other reasons why people can become orphans. It's mentioned several times in Scripture, and I'll give you a few of those. I mean, it's mentioned probably nearly in every book of the Bible dealing with the subject of widows and the fatherless and the stranger. God addresses this a lot. But we'll find this word one time here in the New Testament. And again, this is in verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The book of James is a book that deals with genuine faith. And we really see this when we get into chapter 2, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, where he deals with the subject that faith without works is dead. Now, I don't need to explain that to you because we know the harmony between Romans and the book of James. The text here that we're looking at contrasts between true religion and false religion. As I dealt with last year, I dealt with the subject of pure religion. So the pure is in contrast to the defiled. And you've heard people say, well, I'm not very religious. And that's not a good statement to be making at all. The word religion is given a bad reputation. Yes, in the Bible, it's used in false religion, but it's also used in true religion or pure religion. That's your Christianity is a religion. It's a true religion. It's not a false religion. And every time I hear somebody say, and I hear this quite regularly, well, I'm just not very religious, but I'm a Christian. Well, that's like saying you're not serving the Lord. Because he says that pure religion and undefiled before God in our text includes some things that are to be practiced out in our life. Pure religion denotes the external religious services. It is what a person does outwardly, which reveals what has happened to them inwardly. In other words, through the gospel and through the Holy Spirit. And again, examples of this is in chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. Some other examples would be in Philippians 1:6, where the Apostle Paul mentions about what God has worked within us by his gospel and his truth. And then in Philippians 2, verses 13 and 14, he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We know that that's not saying to work for heaven and to gain heaven, but we're working out, practicing out what God has placed within us. Notice in verse 26, I'll just make mention of this. We had covered this last year. But he said in verse 26, and what I did, I dealt with three things from verse 26 and 27 when we preached the message and wrote an article on pure religion. But he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So the tongue is played into this thing about pure religion as well. The tongue is a badge we wear that it identifies us. And it, the tongue is the accurate index of our spiritual condition. And then he mentions in verse 27, the latter part of this verse, another subject, apart from the fatherless and the widows, and he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Keep ourselves unspotted, that is, to be unblemished, free from spot and stain. And the world here is not the plants and the birds and the trees. The world here in this passage is that organized system headed up by Satan that is in opposition and rebellion to God. But I want to take one word from this passage here and focus in upon it. Now, when he speaks of the fatherless, the orphans, and I'm going to later close in John chapter 14, and the Greek word is interesting there that's mentioned in that passage. But when we consider this, I remember a number of years ago, and you've heard me tell this story, I remember praying for two things. And I prayed for that we could find ministries to support that print the Bible. The many printing ministries, but that just prints and distributes Bibles. And the other one is I was praying for orphanage that we could support, whether it be in the States or outside the States. My wife and I had supported an orphanage in India for a year or so, but we didn't know anything about it. I mean, we were just taking somebody's word, didn't know a thing about it, and didn't even know the missionary that was supposed to be involved in that. And so I began praying, and it was a very short period of time with both of those prayers. As a matter of fact, I think one of them was within a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most, that as I prayed, I said, Lord, give us some printing ministries that we can distribute Bibles. And I didn't know that there was one within an hour, hour and a half to our east in Florida, and there was one within an hour, hour and a half to our west in Ocean Springs or Gulfport, Mississippi. And so I found out those ministries, and I called them, and I said, I need you to come in and present your work so we can, you know, so we can get involved with you. Well, within that same period of time, I got a call from Brother Ronnie from Honduras. And even though him and I are from the same hometown, I'd never met him, didn't know him, and did not know what he was doing. I didn't even know that I knew his brother and went to school with his brother, but I didn't know he had a brother that was a missionary. And so within a short period of time, we made a trip to Honduras. He's calling and says, we don't know each other, but we're from the same hometown. Would you come down here? And I said, yes. So myself and Darlene and Joanna and someone else took that trip, and we went down, and we began supporting that. Now, why do I say all of that? Well, there's many ways that the fatherless can be supported. They can be prayed for. They can be helped financially. There's some people that adopt, and you and I are adopted sons and daughters of God, so that's a very good option. And But we had at that time when I first went down about 200 orphans, and I've had, remember all the containers that we've done when we had the opportunities to do them. We did a total, I think, of 25 containers. At one time, was doing one in the fall and one in the spring as well. And we started off with those. The first load I had fit in the trunk of a car. And the second load we had, and that was in Belize, actually, where it first started, and carrying it down in duffel bags. I made two trips in 1995. But then a pickup truck and then a van, and then we were able to load some semi-trucks with the helps of other people. So notice in verse 27 again, before we turn away, the importance of this. And again, I ask you to bear with me. Of course, it's been a long time since we've addressed this, and I think it'll be a help and a blessing to you. But I want to, again, some of the older articles, a lot of the scriptures I give you tonight will be in the articles written 2003. But he said in verse 27, reading this again, he said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I addressed this last year, this word visit, and it's a very important word. And it's not a social call with coffee and donuts. In the scripture, it means much more than that. And I'll give you some passages if you want to write them down. In Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, God had made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child in a very short period of time. In that passage, it says that God had visited Sarah. In other words, he opened her womb at 90 years of age, and she was able to have a baby. So this word visit means to help, to show pity, to support, or to bless. And also in Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and verse 78, God visited his people through Jesus Christ coming to this earth, and he brought salvation. So when he visited this earth through his Son, he brought salvation, Christ going to the cross. That's in Luke chapter 1. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, gives that prophecy. And then in Luke chapter 19, verse 44, when the Lord is speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, he makes the statement that that Jerusalem knew not the time of their visitation. In other words, they missed the salvation of God as a whole, not every individual, but as a nation. There's another time, and these are only a few, there's so many. But in Acts chapter 15, dealing with the subject of the Gentile being saved in Gentile churches, and there's a Jerusalem council that came together, Paul, Peter, James, the leaders are there, and they're discussing in this meeting about the salvation of the Gentiles. And I'm just taking one verse, but it's verse 14. And it says, and Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So we see here that when God visited the Gentiles, beginning with Cornelius, to take out a people for his name, he's talking about God bringing the blessings of salvation to the Gentile people as we are here today, 2,000 years later. So the word visit is a figurative expression in the scripture signifying to take notice, to look upon, to intervene on behalf of someone else. When a doctor visits the sick, he visits the sick to attend to their physical needs. When I mention visitation, and when I go on visitation, I go to minister to others in spiritual things. So that's how the word is used. Now, you can turn loose of the book of James. I'm taking this one word, fatherless, out of the passage. Again, we've dealt with the other things just last year. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25. And notice here. Now, if you're taking notes, Matthew 26:11, and speaking of the poor, and obviously the fatherless, the widows, they are poor, Jesus said, "Ye have the poor always with you." That's when the alabaster box was broken and the woman anointed him for his burial and before the crucifixion and so forth. And he said, "You have the poor always with you." So there'll always be the issue of widows and orphans and the poor and the stranger. In other words, they'll always be there. Now, notice in Matthew chapter 25, and from verse 31, we see the Lord's coming, the separating of nations, the shepherd divides in verse 32 the sheep from the goats. And in verse 33, he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Notice that word, visited. And here in this passage, we find that this is one of the distinguishing marks of a sheep, a believer, is their ministry to the needy. They do not neglect those who are truly in need. So in verse 36, the word visited is used to show the action that was taken by the Christians on behalf of the needy. And again, we can take every book in the Bible, all the 66 books, and go through passages that deal with this. So the fatherless, the orphans, the widows, the strangers, the poor, we can see this from beginning to end of Holy Scripture. I could stand here for the next hour just giving you verses to write down. They're so numerous. But notice that we find some folks here that did not do this. And in verse, notice with me as we come down to verse, I really don't have to read all these because I want to go to some other passages, but you'll find that there, the goats that did not enter into the kingdom, we see the characteristics of them as well. Notice, let's go to the Old Testament, and notice with me in the book of Exodus in chapter 22. And by the way, the other verse there that I was going to give you in Matthew 25 would be verse 43. I just scanned down there and didn't see it. It is verse 43 because he said, "I was a stranger, you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not." All right, now notice in the book of Exodus in chapter 22, we're only a couple of chapters away from the Ten Commandments. So the Old Testament laws of God made special provision for the needs of orphans and widows. And I want you to notice as we come here, we're talking about as the Ten Commandments were given at Mount Sinai, what we're going to be reading was given also in reference to the orphan, the fatherless. I'm reading from chapter 22 from verse 21. Notice carefully as we come here. And again, as we've seen in Matthew 26, that the poor would always be with you. Write down Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, and you'll find there is that the poor shall never cease out of the land. So they'll always be. And that means that the fatherless, the orphans, will always be as well. And notice here that he says, I'm reading from verse 22, or verse 21 through verse 24. And he said, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. And I'll just stop reading there. He picks up the issue of lending money to the poor. But we see clearly here that in the Old Testament, the laws of God made special provisions for the needs of orphans and widows. And again, this is a special clause in God's Word, and it's given at the same time that the Ten Commandments are given to Moses at Mount Sinai. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, and notice here, I'm turning to Deuteronomy, and we're going to chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm going to give you just a few more verses, and we're going to go back to the New Testament. But notice with me in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to be reading from verse 17 and 18 in this particular passage. Now notice as we read verse 17 and in verse 18. He says here, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doeth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. So the fatherless were to be fed, and if we, by the way, put this together with chapter 14 and also chapter 26, they were to be helped and fed with the tithe that was taken once every third year, which was a relief fund for the destitute. So in God's holy law, He provided for the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, and the poor. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 24. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, I'll tell you what, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Let me read one verse from this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 27. I'm just going to give you the other verses. In Deuteronomy 24 that I just mentioned in verse 19 through 22, the gleanings of the crops were to be left in the fields for them, for the widows, for the strangers, for the poor, for the orphans, and also the fruit that was on the trees and the vine. They were to leave something for them. Now again, as I've mentioned to you before, that's not a welfare system that they go out and glean from that. They actually work to get it. If you take a note, write down Deuteronomy 16, verses 10 through 14. Orphans and widows, again, were included in the community celebrations and worship. In that chapter, there's three feast days where they go to Jerusalem. There's the celebration of the entire community, and the orphans and the widows, they were included in that. Again, I'm just giving you these because this shows God's care for them. Notice with me as we come to Deuteronomy chapter 27, just one verse, and it is in verse 19. And he said, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. So again, we see warning here against those who would oppress or take advantage of any of these that are listed in the text. And again, we can go to Psalms and Isaiah and Malachi, a number of places in the book of Job, a number of places in the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Zechariah, anywhere you want to go. And if you read long enough, you're going to find the truths of this. Now notice in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 1, in Isaiah chapter 1. in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to take two verses from this chapter. If you're taking notes, chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3, and also chapter 58, verses 6 and 7. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 1, reading in verse 17, and the Lord is dealing with Jerusalem over her sin. He describes her sins in this passage. But he said in verse 17, he said, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." And then in verse 23, he said, "Thy princes are rebellious and companion of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doeth the cause of the widow come unto them." The judgment was coming upon Israel for a number of sins, and one of those sins was the way that they treated the orphans and the widows. So again, we see this very important in God's Word. Turn with me to Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 23, also through the book of Psalms, you'll find many times, but in one in particular, is in Psalm 68, verse 5, where that it says, "A father, God is a father to the fatherless, and a judge of widows is God in his holy habitation." So again, we see the Lord takes up their cause. Now notice in chapter 23, and I'm reading in verse 10 and 11, and he said, "Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he shall plead their cause with thee." Strong statements that God has given here. In also in chapter 28 and in verse 27, chapter 28, verse 27, and this is not the passage that I'm after. I mean, he does mention the poor. He said, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse," and that will fit. But notice one more time in Proverbs, and I'm reading in chapter 24. In chapter 24, a number of years ago, I wrote an article and preached a message titled "Defending the Unborn," and I used this passage. But notice as we come to chapter 24, and I'm going to read two verses, and that's going to be verse 11 and in verse 12. This doesn't mention orphans or fatherless, but it'll tie into the same concept. It says in verse 11 and 12, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doeth not he that pondereth a heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doeth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" You've heard me say this. I was standing on the street corner in the abortion clinic and praying and thinking about the whole situation, and I turned to this passage, and I guess I've not paid a lot of attention to it before, but I was just and I was actually going to write an article and wanted some verses to put on the front of it. I always like to put a good verse, you know, on the front, and the Lord drew my attention to these two verses, and they are on the front of the article, "Defending the Unborn." Now let us come to the New Testament. We'll come to the book of Matthew chapter 18, and then we'll come to John 14, and we'll close. Notice first of all in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I want to read the first five or six verses in this chapter. And one of the reasons I'm turning here, I want you to notice, is that God shows the consequences of offending one of these little ones in his illustration of how that we're saved. And I'm beginning in verse 1. He said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Verse 6, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were thrown in the depths of the sea. And that could refer, when he mentions a little one and especially believes, that could refer to a child. That could refer to a believer also, because the Lord feels the same way about us. He has adopted us into his family. Now let us close in the book of John in chapter 14. Again, there's many, many more verses, but I just felt led that we get this recorded. It's been many, many years ago, and back when we were recording on cassette tape is when some of these were done. Those have become ancient now. And I've even told that the CDs are going to be fading out. Notice with me in John chapter 14. I mentioned Honduras and the orphanage there and the work that we've done. We poured so much into it over the years. One of my greatest thrills of going to Honduras was not just to preach. I would go down and spend 7 to 10 days, would preach anywhere from 15 to 25 times in those 7 to 10 days, depending on how many days I was at. Normally, many times, be preaching 4 times a day, beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning. But one of my greatest thrills was not just going to be able to preach the gospel and minister, but was actually to spend time with the orphan children. And that was always a thrill. And I even at one time spoke about how easy it would be to adopt from there, and it was not easy at all. As we found out in with my own daughter and son-in-law, how long it took them, to adopt a child. But one of my greatest thrills in the 9 trips down there was to spend time with those children. When I wasn't preaching, I spent time with the children. And this one building I slept in had a screen front on it, and I would sleep out there on that porch a lot of times, and wake up many times in the morning and have about 20 children standing there looking at you, waiting for you to wake up. And anywhere you walked and anywhere you went, you've got at least 10 or 15 following you along, holding your hand, and so forth. And it was just, like I say, it was hard to leave the children whenever it was time to come back to the States. And even though I wasn't around the orphanage in Belize, my 2 trips to Belize in 1995, the children, they were quite special to be around. And one trip I made down there when I was preaching is that the children learned I think it was Jesus Loves Me or one of those, learned it in English and sang that for me as I was preaching before we left and coming back to the States. So they had a short period of time to do that. That was another one of those 10-day trips. Notice in John chapter 14. Now let me read verses 16, 17, and 18, and we'll close here. And one other verse, by the way, Lamentations 5:3, it says, we are orphans and fatherless, our mothers are widows. How that Jeremiah felt, the Jerusalem felt as the destruction had come up on them at that time. Well, we know that God is our Father by adoption into his family, and this shows God's love for the fatherless. Now, he says here in John chapter 14, reading verse 16, 17, and 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, here's the verse I'm really after, even though the word Comforter is used in verse 16. But notice he said in verse 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The word comfortless comes from the same Greek word translated fatherless in James 1:27, which is, the word is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, meaning destitute, meaning orphan. So the Lord told his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans, as fatherless. He said, I will be sending the Comforter. Would you stand with me this evening? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the wonderful privilege to be in thy family through adoption, that we have a Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank thee in thy word that we see the concern all through the Scriptures on this subject here this evening. And Father, may our hearts be touched by it as we live our Christian life. Lord, may our religion be pure religion. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.